Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, a biblical Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. In this episode, we have Professor Andrew Nauman from Michigan Lutheran Seminary of Saginaw, Michigan, preaching on October 27th and his sermon, What Does This Mean?
This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Amen. What does this mean? Those are some, maybe perhaps, pretty fitting words to hear at a Lutheran church this Sunday or next Sunday as we take time often to talk about the Lutheran Reformation. What does this mean? I struggle to even ask that question or to even maybe start a sermon or a service that way, a Reformation service, because so quickly it can spiral out of control and become a focus about a German monk in the Middle Ages. A German monk who in the middle of the Renaissance started to read God's Word in its original languages of Greek and Hebrew. A German monk who stood up to the Holy Roman Emperor and the church at that time. Martin Luther did do all those things. But if for a moment we stop and we think that that's the focus of what does this mean, what we do here as maybe Lutherans, or what does this mean as we celebrate the Reformation, then we need to stop and we need to compare Martin Luther to the Apostle Paul, the writer of our sermon text that I'll read for you in just a moment today. As the Apostle Paul wrote the words of 1 Thessalonians that I'm going to read to you in just a moment. He was on his second missionary journey, so he had already taken his first journey and walked thousands of miles. He was now about halfway through his second missionary journey, so he had walked thousands of miles already. He was going to take another journey, possibly a fourth one we're talking about, walking all the way to Spain. He had started numerous churches. At times, we're told that even whole cities came out to listen to him. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, half of the New Testament. So why don't we have any churches that are church services where we celebrate St. Paul? What does this mean, then? That we sometimes have a Reformation service or that we have Lutheran in our name. What does this mean? Let me read for you our text for today. And answer that question, what does it mean? What is our focus? What is our reason? I read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, reading verses 4 to 10. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So what does this mean? That some of our churches are called St. Paul's, but we don't have a service celebrating St. Paul, but some of our churches have Lutheran in them and we have a Reformation service. Well, then to do the things that I mentioned. But did you catch how in the verses that I just read to you? They did those things, but really it's better to say God did those things, didn't it? Because Paul said it was the gospel. It was the gospel that reformed people's hearts. It was the gospel that took people from being people of wrath, enemies of God, into being children of God. It was God's word, the gospel, that it says they received through faith, and so they went from a life of serving themselves to a life of serving. God who takes people who are set on the way to death and damnation and wrath and puts them on the path to life. That's what we're talking about. That's what it means when we have a service about the Lutheran Reformation. So what does that mean for you and for me? Because if we're rather honest, I think we might begin to think, you know, the Apostle Paul, well, he had it pretty easy. I mean, here he was alive when Jesus was alive. He saw the apostles, he saw the Lord himself. He had the Holy Spirit, as we heard in our words, coming down on his church services, so to speak. And the Holy Spirit in so many words was saying, this is God's word. God even gave him so much power that he was able to heal people. Or Martin Luther. I mean, man, he had it easy. God put him in the perfect place at the perfect time, in the middle of the Renaissance where everybody wanted to learn and everybody wanted to study. He had this thing called the printing press invented so his word could spread out quickly. But you and me, is it so easy for you and for me? And when you stop and you look at the numbers, Christianity continues to decline in the U.S. As you look at various marriage rates and all sorts of things like that, you see the family continues to kind of break down as people have taken God's structure for marriage. And as you move in with someone, before you're married, not what God says, you marry someone, then you move in with them. Or you look at what's highlighted on the news. A lot of times, it's about groups fighting. It's about unfortunate things that lifestyles, which are pretty crazy sometimes. When you look around the church, perhaps schools, see a decent amount of gray hair, see a decent amount of empty pews. And you might begin to think, are we getting a good return on our investment and all of our work that we're doing? Even more personal, what about the day-to-day? About when we look at our lives and we hear God say to us in your word, you are new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. You're saints. And yet, how often do those words of Romans 7 prove true in our lives? The good I want to do, that I don't. That which I'm not supposed to do, that's what I do when we give in to temptation. And we lose our anger with our spouse, or we get upset with our parents, or we don't treat our neighbor as ourselves, we don't love God with all our heart, soul, mind. We may be chased after the things of this world and keeping up with others and worrying more about emotions and money and all the things that we have. So what does that mean? Exactly what the devil wants you to stop. He wants you to stop and to think, oh, there's no use anymore. He wants you to stop and to focus on other things that you forget. What does this mean? We have to come back and hear God's word. We have to come back and we have to be reminded of our baptism and receive his body and love to assure us that we are forgiven. Because I hate to burst your bubble. The Apostle Paul had as he wrote these words for us today, he was on his second missionary journey, but he wrote them because he had been in Thessalonica. And while he was there, many people came and were listening to him. So many, the Jews got jealous. And so they went over to this man's house by the name of Jason, where Paul was doing his work, and they knocked at the door looking for Paul because they wanted to beat him up, maybe even kill him. They didn't find Paul, so they grabbed Jason and beat him up instead, and then they chased Paul out of town. But that wasn't good enough for them, so they chased after him and chased him out of Berea. Those are the hardships which he talked about in our verses for today that they had to do. But don't stop and forget about either that thorn in the flesh, where he asked God 3 times, Lord, please remove this difficulty in my life. And God said, nope, I'm going to keep it there so that you have to rely on me. heart were called not to be proud and arrogant, but when people thought they were so good or that their life was so bad and they had sacrificed so much for Christ, he said this, five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was melted with stone, and the list just goes on and on and on. Well, I had a pretty tough too. And Martin Luther had a pretty tough too. He had a death warrant out on his head. And he was up in that castle tower, not because he had to be there, because he was sent to jail. He was there for his own safety. And people were twisting his words. So he had a pretty tough too. So what does all this mean? God's grace. It is by God's grace alone. It's by God's grace alone that the Apostle Paul knew and could say with joy in our words, I know what God's done for you. He's created faith in you. And I know he'll continue to do that. This is why Martin Luther could be joyful despite people telling him, you are crazy. You are just a drunken monk. You don't know what you're doing. He stood on God's word alone, was told about God's grace. So what's all this mean for you? God's word alone too. Because there you hear God tell you that you are his children. That he sent his son to live for you and to die for you. Because it's by God's word alone connected to the water of that baptism that God came to you and washed away all your sins, and now you stand before God with a completely clean conscience. It's because of God's word connected with that bread and that wine, where you know your sins are forgiven you. You hear he lived and he died for you. So what does this mean for us? It means, as Paul said in the Thessalonians, we're joyful. And we rejoice because God's word has come to us. It tells us about his grace. It tells us about Christ and creates faith in our hearts. We rejoice because we have this powerful message that is living and active that we can take to others. A message which can take broken homes and show people their true father. Their father, their loving father in heaven, who sacrificed his only son to make you and me and all people his children. It's this message by scripture alone that we can preach to people that have broken hearts and broken lives and give them hope and security and that promise of love from a loving Father. So what does this mean? It means that yes, God used men, people like the Apostle Paul to give us his word, people like Martin Luther to keep his word pure and clean. Yes, it means God has come to you and he's reformed your heart. He's made you his child. He'll continue to reform your heart through his word and through his sacraments. So what does this mean? Well, it means we confidently, as Paul says, we reach out to those around us. And we preach this powerful message that will reform their hearts and make them children of God. So what does this mean? It is by grace alone that God has loved us. So much so that he sent his son to live and die for us to be the only way, the only truth, the only way to heaven. And it's by faith that we believe. By scripture alone, that we can continue to know that and to share that message with others. Amen.